Shalom, everyone, and welcome to the Middle East and Beyond. I'm Barry Stagner, coming to you from a very turbulent Southern California. And I'm here, as always, with my good friend, Amir Sarfati from the Lower Galilee and the beautiful Jezreel Valley. Amir, shalom.
Shalom, Pastor Barry. We also have our own turbulence over here, but nothing like yours. I guess you guys always have it, a very photogenic one.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of media in LA, that's for sure. So, Amir, I was kind of going through our schedule for today, and I thought, it's interesting, you know, we've talked about this before, that, you know, Gaza and the war in Gaza is not really a prophetic event specifically. However, it's making major contributions to the precursors to the ultimate fulfillment of Zechariah 12:3. But we've got in the news today a major player in the last day scenario, especially of the Ezekiel war scenario, that seems to be crowding their way, I would say, into the headlines, and that is with Iran. And looking at some of the things that have taken place, you know, even what's happened there in Yemen is sending signals to Iran. And maybe you can bring us up to date on the recent Israeli Navy strikes in Yemen and how exactly that's communicating a message to the Iranians.
Yes. So, you know, in the early hours of this morning, two Israeli, very sophisticated, latest generation, basically frigates, which is warships or battleships, made their way down to the Red Sea. And from a distance of a few hundreds of kilometers, they launched precision-guided missiles that hit the Hodeidah port and destroyed whatever they tried to reconstruct and repair from the last time. Now, this is a very unusual thing, Pastor Barry, because so far, all the Israeli strikes in Yemen were airstrikes. And airstrikes are something very sophisticated, but also very complicated, because it's not just the fighter jets that are flying almost 2,000 kilometers. We're talking about refueling jets, we're talking about reconnaissance jets, we're talking about rescue teams. All of these things are part of a super costly operation to which I guess the Yemenites are ready. What we did this time, we disguised our two naval boats, we disguised them to some maritime, I guess, commercial ships. They follow this super, I call it, busy maritime commercial lines. And when they reach a certain point and they were undetected, of course, they launched those precision guided missiles. And there you go. We did it. And we went back. And the signal that we sent to Iran is, first of all, if we can reach Yemen, we can reach Iran. It's the same distance. And the second thing is to Iranians, if we want to reach your nuclear sites, it's not just through the air. Prepare also for precision guided missiles to come from other places, and we're not sure you can even identify them and recognize them and detect them. So I think it's a message to Iran. This time the memo was sent to the Yemenites, but at least now the Yemenites understand that we mean business and we can reach them in many different ways, not just one. And again, first time ever that Israel strike Yemen with precision-guided missiles launched from a ship and not from the air.
Yeah, Amir, it's interesting thinking about how many of these countries love the military parades. They like to parade their hardware through the streets of major cities and obviously have the press there. I'd say this was a better show than any military parade to show what exactly Israel is capable of. And yet we do know that the Iranians are still continuing with their nuclear threats and the enrichment of uranium, and as their ideology stirs them up to this hatred of Israel, and that we do know that they are going to participate in that invasion from the north in the Ezekiel war scenario. But maybe you can bring us up to speed on what's been happening regarding these efforts to penetrate their nuclear facilities that are deep underground.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, 2 months ago, President Trump shocked Israel and shocked the world when he announced that talks with Iran has begun. He gave them 2 months to reach a deal, and the 2 months window expires this coming Thursday. Now, we have to understand something. Pastor Beth, a lot of people don't understand that the Iranian nuclear program from the very beginning was never ever designed to be a civilian program for a very innocent purposes. We're talking about a program that from the very beginning was designed to be a military one, and it's called the Ahmad Project. And again, what sets Iran's nuclear program apart from other countries is the fact that countries like Israel and maybe Russia and America and China and even France, we don't have jihadi ideology, and we don't hide things from, you know, the world. I mean, those countries, everybody knows they have weapons, and there is a reason for that. And that's it. We're not calling for the destruction of other countries and removal of them from the face of the earth. Iran is ruled by an extreme Islamic regime driven by radical jihadist ideology. And we know already, October 7th proved to all of us, that when you have the ideology and the means, you'll never hesitate to use it. And in Iran's case, Iran, unlike Pakistan or other places, they truly mean business when it comes to wanting Israel to be vanished. Radical Muslim jihadist regimes like Iran that acquire the means and capabilities will always act on their violent ideology. And this is why, you know, if you want any nuclear energy, fine. But nuclear weapon, you can't have that one. Now, a lot of people don't understand, Pastor Barry, that in order to have a nuclear weapon program, you need three major things. You need enriched uranium to weapon graded level. You need research and development of the actual warhead, the bomb itself. And then you need the means to transfer the warhead all the way to its target, which is the ballistic missile program. Iran is working on all three of them. Now, normally when a country wants to have civilian purposes, nuclear energy, it doesn't need to enrich uranium. It doesn't need to have research facilities to prepare a warhead. And it doesn't need super sophisticated ballistic missile program that will be able to carry those. Iran doesn't have enemies. Let's face it. No one wants to destroy Iran. The only reason anyone wants to come against Iran is because Iran is posing a threat on Israel and other countries around. So the enrichment, the development, and the delivery systems are the three things that Iran has built. And they did it in a way that it will be very hard to attack. I think we have, if I'm not mistaken, we have a map that can show a lot, everyone what is it that Iran has as far as facilities. Take a look at Iran's borders and take a look at the different facilities that it has. The legend will show you that there are facilities for uranium enrichment. There is uranium mining. They don't even have to buy uranium. They have power reactors. And of course, the research for the bomb and the weaponization facility. And so you understand that the enrichment facilities and the research and the weaponization are the main things we need to come after. And take a look, it looks very innocent from above. But once you go under the ground, all the way, 100 meters under the ground, this is where the business is done. It's not innocent at all. And because it's not innocent, they have to hide it from the eyes of the world. They have to hide it because they don't want people to know about it. They don't want people to find about it. And they don't want people to attack and destroy it. And Rafael Grossi, the head of the IAEA, just said yesterday that, in fact, it's deeper than that. It's 800 meters deep. It's half a mile deep underground. We don't believe it's true. We don't believe it's true. But it is deep enough for you to need to have several rounds of bunker-busting bombs. And the last thing I will say, Pastor Barry, and it's important that people understand, Israel detected this whole nuclear program in 2002 already. And in 2010, we already began the attempt to destroy the Stuxnet. If you remember the virus that we injected into their enrichment facilities that destroyed much of their centrifuges. Later on, we killed the head of the nuclear program, Fakhrizadeh. We actually stole the entire archive of the Iranian nuclear program from Tehran, and we eliminated all of their scientists. And in response, Iran escalated enrichment and missile activity, and we reach a point today where the IAEA admitted in a report published a few days ago that Iran has enough enriched uranium for 10 nuclear bombs. And so as we speak, the centrifuges are spinning faster and faster. More and more material that can be used for bomb is already at their disposal. And that is exactly why somebody has to pull the trigger, and it has to be very soon. And I'll be very honest with you, at this point, Israel is ready. We are prepared. We practiced that many times. And the only thing that stands in our way is the United States of America trying to reach a deal. And until they exhaust all the efforts, they don't want us to do anything at this point. Now, they can smell the coffee, the Iranians. They can understand that. On one hand, they cannot accept the U.S. terms. On the other hand, they don't want any strike. They can sense that the end is coming. And the Iranian Supreme National Security Council released this statement yesterday. Take a look. It's on the screen. In the name of God Almighty, the recent complex intelligence operation carried out by the anonymous soldiers of the Imam of our time, Imam Mahdi, are a great intelligence achievement, an important part of the intelligence design and covert and secret actions by the sacred Islamic system. Another important part of this is the round-the-clock struggle of our armed forces to create operational capacity aligned with the weakness and strengths of the Zionist regime, and any such aggression, including any aggression against our economic and military infrastructure, we will respond instantly by attacking their hidden nuclear sites. And the funny thing is, because in 2018 we stole their nuclear facility, their nuclear program's archive, they fabricated a story that they stole ours. And it's very interesting because they fabricated a story, and then their media reported that. Lebanese media reported what they reported. English media reported what the Lebanese reported. And then the Iranian media reported what the English media reported, what the Lebanese media reported, and they started parroting each other's fake news as if it's true. And now they try to intimidate us as if we know everything about your program, and now we know how to attack when the time comes. And, you know, it's very amusing, by the way, to see that, because you can see their effort to somehow intimidate us, but they understand that this is Benjamin Netanyahu's legacy. I mean, for the past 15 years, it's all he's talking about, from the stage of the UN General Assembly to meetings with world leaders, all the way to his own people here when he ran for office. So if he's not going to do that, and if that's not going to happen very soon, we're going to miss that train. The train will leave the station, and it's going to be too late.
Amir, noting the statement from the Iranians regarding the Imam of our time and the mention of the Mahdi, I think the viewers need to understand that the Mahdi is associated with resolving the apocalypse that comes about in the last days. Right. So this is a very strong statement that they believe that the time is now and the destruction of Israel is on the horizon, as well as, at least in their thinking, the destruction of the great Satan, which is the United States. But again, I have to say, I'm going to be very interested in seeing what Israel comes up with to get down that 100 meters underground and take care of this. And looking at, you know, the pager thing, and now with this kind of covert op striking Yemen with these disguised warships, you know, God has his hand in Israel.
Absolutely. You know, the Iranians reportedly said that they reject the U.S. proposal, but they came up with their own proposal saying that, hey, we will enrich uranium for 3.67%. However, we will do it only if Israel will dismantle its nuclear program.
Yeah.
I don't want to reveal things that should not be revealed. But I will only tell the Iranians this. Hezbollah did not know about the pagers and the walkie-talkies for quite a few years.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
I'm with you.
Okay.
But Amir, things are still happening in Gaza as well. And the control of the IDF over Gaza has now reached kind of a midpoint, so to speak. And there's some other interesting developments, including, you know, the retrieval of three of the dead hostages. But maybe you can update us on what's been happening there on your southern border as well.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a while that we've been talking about the fact that hospitals for the Palestinians, and especially in the Gaza Strip, and especially for Hamas, hospitals are nothing but a shield to cover their own operation. And if I can show you the map of Gaza, you're going to see the European hospital built by EU money. The European hospital was there not just to treat people, but the European hospital in the outskirts of Khan Yunis, as you are about to see, was actually a place that was shielding the leader of Hamas right there in the center of the Gaza Strip towards the south, Khan Yunis area. If we zoom in to Khan Yunis, you're about to see 50% of Gaza is already taken over by IDF. We control over 50%. But take a look at this. We zoom in. That's the European hospital. And underneath that hospital, we found a tunnel that housed the top leader of Hamas now on the right, Mohammed Sinwar and Mohammed Shabana. And inside the hospital is where we found the bodies of Gadi Khagi and his wife Judy. Judy is Canadian. Gadi was American. Both are from the Jezreel Valley that later on moved to the south next to Gaza. And these are the people that we're dealing with. In the Rafah area, we managed to retrieve the hostage that we're not sure if he's alive, Pina Natopong. He's a Thai worker, married with a son also. And he's one of those three that we were not sure if they're still alive or not. And unfortunately, we found his body and we know now that he's dead. So we have 20 confirmed living hostages, and apparently the rest are probably dead. And as you can see, we're controlling 50%. We are moving slowly because there are so many things that we need to, you know, watch over and stay away from. I'll give you an example. I put that on my Telegram channel. People can see the link on the far end of the screen. But Pastor Barry, in the last 24 hours, in many different incidents, we actually detected Hamas terrorists dressed like women coming in and out of hospitals, coming in and out of displaced tents, dressed like women. You understand that what they do now is they risk all women there, because now you don't know who is a... I know that in the Western world, you don't know who is a woman, who is not, for other reasons. But in Gaza, now you don't know who is a woman and who is not, for the sake of, you know, Hamas terrorists disguising as women. So this is what we have right now. We have to understand that, unlike before, as we move forward slowly, but we also destroy everything above and underneath that has terror infrastructures. And people ask me, so why do you destroy so many buildings? I want to tell you something. Never in the history of planet Earth was there any location on planet Earth that every other house had infrastructures used by terrorists. These are not psychopaths. They're beyond psychopaths. Every single penny, every single cent that flowed into the Gaza Strip went to create tunnels, shafts, weapons, ammunition, and preparation for October 7th. And, you know, the soldiers are shocked because I stopped posting that on Telegram because it's almost like people think that I'm recycling the same photos. We're finding every day hundreds of weapons, hundreds of IEDs, hundreds of hand grenades every single day in every other house. That's why these houses are destroyed. They have been marked as terrorist infrastructure. And any house that is not destroyed, terrorist comes out of it immediately. All they need is to have access from their shaft to attack and then run back to the tunnel. And when you look at those pictures that look like almost like Hiroshima or Nagasaki, of everything is destroyed above the ground, don't be deceived. It might be destroyed above the ground, but under the ground there's about 30 to 40,000 terrorists, like ants under the ground, waiting. Where do we pop up from, attack and run back? This is how it is. So as with Gideon's chariots, unlike before, as we move forward, we not only destroy what above, but we are examining every single shaft, and we make sure that even the underground infrastructures are being destroyed. And as you said, not only that we retrieve dead bodies of our hostages, but we also retrieve the body of the leader of Hamas, Sinwar, and one of his top leaders, Shabana, the commander of the Rafah Brigade. And quite an interesting thing, as we move forward, Hamas is getting less and less organized. They are no longer a power that can really come against us. They're now probably 10 to 20% of what they used to be, and they're acting as a guerrilla. They're robbing, looting things, but they don't govern anymore. That's it.
Yeah, you mentioned something yesterday on the Q&A we did together that I think probably would be beneficial to the audience today. And that is, you mentioned the kibbutzim and the political leanings of those who dwelt there, many of those at the Nova Festival. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that, because I think this feeds into what we often mention, and that the Hamas members who carried out this and the others like them are simply demonic. There's no other way to look at it, when they've kind of, in a way, were attacking a support base through what they did on October 7th. Maybe you can let everybody know exactly what you shared yesterday. I thought that was great.
Well, you know, I think yesterday's question was related to the flotilla, and I mean, about those Westerners that were supposed to come into Gaza. Why wouldn't you allow them in? And how do you think the Gazans would have received them and all of that? And I said, you know, and about more than 10 years ago, a 35-year-old Italian peace activist also made it to Gaza, and he was brutally murdered by the Gazans. I mean, he was a peace activist. He was pro-Palestinian. He came to help them. He came to protest on their behalf, and they brutally killed him. And why? Because he's a Westerner. Because he's not a Muslim. He's not a fanatic like them. He's not Arab. He's not one of them. And God forbid, this man that represents everything they hate is now here to set the wrong example to our own people. So, and that's exactly what would have happened to them. And again, as you just mentioned, most of the people that were slaughtered in the kibbutzim near Gaza are actually peace activists, are actually supporters of the Palestinians and the cause of the Palestinians and the cause of a Palestinian state. These are the people that helped them getting medical treatment in Israel, driving them, supplying them with job and food and clothing and everything. These are their best friends among the Israelis. And they had no problem invading into their territory, calling the kibbutzim settlements and bragging to their own family members, I just killed a settler. I just killed a mom, a dad, and the kids. I killed 10 Zionists. You know, for them, we're all Zionists, we're all settlers, regardless of the political inclination of the people, regardless whether we're pro-Palestinians or anti-Palestinians, who cares? When they raped the woman, they didn't ask the woman if they're pro or anti-Palestinians. None of the people that came to the Nova Music Festival made any political statement. In fact, they were all peace-loving people who came just to dance, and they were brutally raped and butchered and murdered and burned alive. This is who we are dealing with. These are monsters. And when Greta and all of her friends, when we seized the control over that stupid selfie flotilla. And by the way, we did it so elegantly and so peacefully. I mean, they tried to make their way from Catania in Sicily all the way towards the coast, along the coast of Turkey, all the way down next to Crete. And Israel seized control. And instead of shooting them, we gave them water. We gave them sandwiches with pastrami. And we escorted them to the port of Ashdod. And Greta was already on the plane. She already landed in Sweden. But not before she told the whole world she was kidnapped. She's a hostage. She threw her phone to the waters of the Mediterranean. Pollution, remember? All of them threw their phones away. And all for what? In their boat, there was less food than one truckload of aid. And we're getting hundreds of truckloads of aid every day. You think they needed what she had on the boat? Half of it probably was eaten and consumed by these people. It was all a stunt. They don't care about people. They don't care about real, you know, no one talks about the Sudanese. No one talked about the Yemenis. No one talks about Nigerian Christians. No one talks about people massacred in Congo. Because it's not about the suffering of the Palestinians. It's about anti-Semitism. They hate the Jews. And so if it's with the Jews, it will make the news. And no Jews, no news. And that's it. And she's disappointed because there was no provocation. The Israeli soldiers did not brutally and violently take over their ship. Instead, she received pastrami sandwich. By the way, she was super happy. She was smiling when she received the sandwich. And she forgot she's vegan. She even forgot that, you know, it's wrapped with plastic. And she forgot that she's not allowed to fly. And she was on the plane this morning, all the way to France and from France to Sweden. And it's so ridiculous that even the Swedish government said, we don't want to take care of this one. It's not our problem. And that she was, as you can see, she was spotted on the flight, LR flight to Paris. Sitting there thinking, what have I done? And as I said, the flight is on us, but the shame is on her.
Amir, this underscores the fact why we encourage people to subscribe, like, comment, and share, because we are fighting a battle against misinformation. And for this young woman to get in front of the media, make a declaration that she's been kidnapped, you know, with a lot of people, that's going to get some traction. So, you know, a lie only has one enemy, and that's the truth. And so that's why I think this program is so important, and it's so important for us to fight together against all of this spread of lies and deceit and anti-Semitism. And you can do that by subscribing to both of our channels, liking and commenting. If you only comment about where you're from, that's awesome. We love seeing people from all over the world to comment. You know, but please, please do so, because this is so vitally important at such a time as this. And Amir, talk about this.
Just before we move on to another subject, I want to show you something very interesting. I want to read to you the comments of Hamas and the Houthis and Islamic Jihad and Iran and Turkey for the flotilla seizure. So Hamas says, we strongly condemn. This is an act of piracy. This is state terrorism. Islamic Jihad, we fully stand in solidarity with the passengers of the Medellin ship. The Houthis say, we condemn the Zionist actions against a civilian ship. Iran says seizing a ship is from a form of piracy, and Turkey says this is a violation of international freedom. So Hamas calls for the release of detainees. Islamic Jihad opposes abductions. Houthis opposes harm of civilian ships. Iranian explains why ships must not be seized, and Turks talk about terrorism. People in glass houses should not throw stones. I mean, if you think about it, what Hamas does, what Islamic Jihad does, is abducting and torturing. Houthis are attacking civilian ships. Iranians are seizing ships also. And Turkey is using terrorism against its own people and against other people that are daring to say anything bad about them. So, you know, irony has committed a suicide. Unbelievable.
And should this ship have reached shore, you would have had either murders or murders and hostages. And again, it's just so strange to thinking of so many in the world to buy into this, to listen to Hamas, to listen to the Houthis, to listen to Hezbollah. And again, Amir, we live in such a bizarre time where the technology of today is really driving things forward. But, you know, it was curious to me, Amir, thinking about this face of climate change and now this face of the Palestinian cause. You know, this is a young woman who became famous for losing her temper during an interview and screaming at people, "How dare you?" and saying, you know, things much like Al Gore started with, you know, the world's going to end, sea levels are going to rise, all this other nonsense that's related to the climate change movement. But it reminded me of Isaiah chapter 3, where the Lord talks about the time when he arises to shake the earth. He says, "I will give them children for their princes." In other words, you know, I've always looked at that figuratively, but with Greta Thunberg rising up and leading the charge in the eyes of so many people, I think there's a literal component to that as well. Here we've got a kid who's driving the narrative and people are following after her. And, you know, she was really the one, the main person that was on this ship. And again, we are so close, I believe, to the Lord coming to get us and transforming us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to forever Amen. Be with him. Now,
yes.
Interesting developments in Syria, Amir. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, the donning of a suit by Jelani and the other things that we've mentioned in time past. And maybe you can bring us up to speed on what's happening there as Syria cracks down on Iran, of all things.
Yes. So let no one deceive you. Jelani is ISIS. Jelani is jihadist. He's just wearing a suit and he trimmed his beard and is, you know, now the, how did Trump call him? The young, attractive man. But I will tell you this. One thing will always remain. Sunnis hate Shiites. And Iran is the mother of the Shiite nation. And when it comes to enemies, you know, the enemy of your enemy, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, okay? So in a way, the, so to speak, friendly steps that the Jelani regime is doing is not exactly because they love us and they really want to live in peace with us. It's because they hate the Iranians as much as they maybe hate us, and even maybe even more. So a couple of days ago, Syrian security forces captured an arms smuggling cell in Syrian town of Talkala. And they basically captured the smuggling cell of 200 Iranian-made 107 millimeters rockets. And, you know, in my Telegram channel, I show photos of what they actually confiscated, which all of them were meant to be transferred to Hezbollah. So, anyway, that's a good thing for us that Hezbollah is not getting those and that the Syrian military seized them. It's just that one day those will be used by the Syrians against us. So we don't live in La La Land. We know exactly that whether it's right. Hezbollah or them, eventually it might find its way to us. But during the time of Assad, when Iran was deeply entrenched in Syria, the Iranians imported into Syria hundreds of thousands of Shiites that are coming from Afghanistan and Pakistan and Iraq, and they settled them in Syria and gave them Syrian citizenship so they can do what they wanted to do in Lebanon and in Iraq, also create a political power as well there. And sources in the Ahmed al-Shara administration stated that the Syrian government is working to revoke the citizenship of approximately 700,000 Syrian citizens. Among them are Iraqis, Iranians, and Lebanese. In other words, they want to kick out any leftover of Iranian influence in Syria. That's a lot of people, you know, 700,000 people. And I'm sure no one is going to protest that one. So that's as far as Syria is concerned. You know, Pastor Barry, I hosted here in my office yesterday for a private conversation, a private meeting, one of the commanders of the IDF special unit that is operating on Mount Hermon and of parts of Syria right now. And he told me that when we first seized that place, except for, in a great operation, 72 hours long operation, we destroyed all of the Syrian military capabilities. But then we started marching into Syria and we found tons of weapon and ammunition that was left by the Assad regime. And there was no way for us to, remove it on the spot. So he found a Druze guy that was driving a tractor and a cart behind that, he was working in agriculture there. And he said, come over here. And literally they loaded the cart with all the RPGs and all the mortar shells and everything on. And they were all brand new in boxes. And they moved them into Israel and seized it. We were surrounded by insane amount of weapon that was meant to be used against us. And we're still cleaning up. And the cleaning up operations continue. But Pastor Barry, it's a miracle. People need to understand when you pray for Israel, God answers in many ways and in many forms and shape of things that you will never be able to understand. I mean, who would imagine that one day a Druze farmer will be directed by an Israeli commander with his tractor to come to a bunker in Syria and load on his truck mortar shells and RPGs and clear them into Israel, and by doing so remove threats from all around us. We're still doing that every day. It's a miracle upon miracle upon miracle. Do not ever stop praying. The prayer of the righteous avails much. Never, ever should stop. That's as far as Syria is concerned.
Yeah, Amir, that makes a great point, for those out there who hold to a replacement theology or simply believe that Israel has forfeited its place in God's redemptive plan. But the reality is God is moving on Israel's behalf. And as you said, I think it needs to be re-said miracle after miracle after miracle from Almighty God on behalf of his chosen people, yes. Israel. And we're watching just incredible things take place as he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And Amir, we're kind of coming close to the end, so let's jump out into the rest of the world for a minute. And, all the world, I think, has been watching LA riots and how they have intensified. And we've got kind of an inner struggle here. And I know you guys are well familiar with such things, where the president of the United States and the governor of the largest state in the United States are at odds with one another, finger pointing and seeking to shame and accuse of illegal activities. But as these LA riots intensify, Trump has now called for the National Guard to come into the area. He's also called up some Marines as well to handle what the governor of California and the mayor of Los Angeles have refused to do. And he took an action that is a bit unique and hasn't happened in many years, actually since 1965, that a president bypassed the governor of a state and ordered the National Guard into a boots on the ground situation to deal with some of these things going on. And Amir, what we're seeing here, I think, is prophetic in the sense that here in California, which, as the saying goes, as goes America, so goes the world. Well, I think we need to recognize that as goes California, so goes much of our country. And we are seeing lawlessness at levels that are just astounding here in Los Angeles. And LA's no stranger to riots. But, now basically what's happening is illegal activity is being protected and promoted by much of the citizenry in this particular county. LA County is a big county. I think LA is the eighth largest city in the country. And, it's just really sad to watch this happen. And on top of that, I think it's even more heartbreaking to see that we have people in places of power who will do nothing about it, but rather defend it and lay claim to these protests being peaceful.
Yeah, and you know what? It's almost like history repeats itself. When Trump was in office last time and the BLM, this whole debacle started, in the streets of some of the cities across America, mostly obviously the blue cities, Democratic controlled cities, were torched and violence erupted all around. You know, it's a well-organized, well-played, and there's so many ads on Craigslist and others that are calling people to come when they're paying handsomely for rioters. These people are paid to create chaos and to sow, you know, violence all around. It's, you know, I'm always amused by how they use the term peaceful protest when behind them there's burned cars, and when they loot stores and beat up people and try to kill policemen and National Guards. You know, I think that many Americans wake up to understand that, especially in LA is just packed with not just illegals, but with criminals that are now taking advantage and under the guise of anti-ICE, you know, protests, they are actually committing crimes such as stealing and looting and burning and killing. I mean, it's everything but peaceful, and it's sick. And it's terrible to see that the governor and the mayor are so complicit. I mean, look at Kamala Harris's statement that she released, and you can clearly see also all the other Democratic. I mean, it's amazing how violence and chaos always serves the Democrats' interests, always. Anything that has to do with the good, the law-abiding, and, you know, patriotism, securing your border, providing jobs, anything that has to do with good future, loving your country, loving your family, loving your children, all of that is foreign to them, is foreign to them. And in such woke ideology, it's easy to also grow anti-Semitism and then protest against Israel. And they don't understand. We are vomiting as a society here in Israel. We vomit all of these people right now. I mean, hundreds of thousands of Israelis are fighting right now for our existence. And we're not putting up with all of that anymore. This is it.
Yeah.
And so America is going through some rough times, but I think that a lot of Americans wake up to understand that there is a side that wants chaos, wants destruction, wants violence, because they don't believe in borders. They don't believe in governments. They don't believe in law and order. They just don't accept it. And for them, illegal is only in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, if they think something illegal is okay, then it's okay. They choose what illegal is illegal. And so, I mean, they choose if a man is a man, if a woman is a woman, if a man can be a woman. It's all up to their, you know, whatever serves their interest at the moment will then be upheld by them.
Yeah, and I think that points out the level of corruption that's taking place in high places in our country, because they full well know that the Constitution protects peaceful protest, and therefore they are knowingly labeling these things as peaceful because they don't want them to be viewed as violating the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, the media, who is on their side, is doing them a great disservice by posting all these pictures and all, and watching this unfold in our country reminds us, as we mentioned earlier, lawlessness is abounding. We are late in the last days scenario, I believe. And the UK has some interesting things going on, but Amir, why don't you encourage the people once again to what we talked about earlier about the importance of fighting the good fight in the technological realm.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, I want to warn people, and it makes me sad also when I see people that are buying into the propaganda of the enemy. And not just that, a lot of people are buying into even Christian sensationalism, which is very dangerous by itself also. So I want to encourage people, you know, subscribe to our channels, like and share and comment on our videos. Let the truth ring and sound everywhere. Let the algorithm, you know, push and promote our content. We need you. You don't have to do much. It takes 3 minutes. Just subscribe, share, comment, and also like those videos in our channels, Barry's channel, my channel also. And as far as Telegram, there's good news. Telegram not only is a great way to read the news, but now for the first time, Telegram is allowing you to even comment directly to me. You will see that when you, underneath there is a box where you can actually send me direct message from Telegram. So now it's much easier. I want to encourage you to subscribe to my Telegram channel as well. Yes, Barry, this is it.
Yeah, Amir, we've talked a lot about the UK, and there was a video not too long ago that came out where someone was pointing out how many mayors in major cities in the UK are Muslims. And now we're starting to see a push towards Sharia law just becoming law in many of these cities. And there was a man who experienced the enforcement of the Islamic blasphemy code who had burned a copy of the Quran. And this has happened for the second time this year, where the British Crown has decided to punish a man who blasphemed. And the article that was posted said one particular religion, and then it went on to say, guess which one? Was it Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, or Baha'i faith, or even Jediism, which is actually a real thing in the UK coming from Star Wars, which is bizarre. But again, insulting Islam has now had consequences for this man, as he was fined for burning a copy of the Quran. But Amir, I think we would both agree immediately that if he burned a Bible, there would have been no consequences whatsoever.
Yeah. If you burn churches, if you burn Christians, I mean, literally, all over the world, no one cares. Christianity is being persecuted right now more than ever before, and no one says a word. And every time, even in America, but also in Britain, every time somebody wants to condemn anti-Semitism, he will always make sure that he condemns anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. It's the bundle, okay? Although it's the Muslims that are actually the anti-Semites, he feels the needs to say, we cannot have this and this, as if anyone has Islamophobia. No one has Islamophobia. People have a problem with the incompatibility of Islam with Western civilization and Western values. I mean, come on, let's face it. You go to Saudi Arabia, you understand there's not a single church standing there. You cannot preach the gospel there. You cannot read openly from the Bible there. You cannot share people the gospel with anyone there. And the world will be okay. And no one is going to say that Saudi Arabia is a pariah regime. But when you go to England, to Hyde Park, to Speaker's Corner, try to open your Bible. Try to say any word against anything else. You know what? You don't even have to say anything against anything. Just read from the Bible. It will be enough for them to arrest you.
Just quote John 14.
This is where we are. Exactly. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, we've reached a point where people, you know, people prefer the perverted things, and they don't want to hear the sound word, the sound doctrine. And you know what, Pastor Barry, I think that I honestly believe that immigration, the uncontrolled immigration, and the fact that there is now cultural war that is happening in America, but also in Western Europe, I think that will be the chaos that will usher the rise of the Antichrist eventually from Western Europe. I can see that. I can see that, you know, once Ezekiel war will bring about the end of radical Islam agenda, I can see how literally there will be a need for something else. And from the ashes of all the violence that is going to erupt, there's already violence all across Europe. Even in Northern Ireland right now, there's a lot of chaos of people that are going out to the streets against the uncontrolled immigration. You're going to see that in France, you're going to see that in England, you're going to see that in Western European cities, you're going to see that in Scandinavia. People have had it. And I think that eventually we're going to see a complete change, and it will be in the ballot boxes when they're going to go and vote for new regimes and new government. And we can only pray that throughout this process, people will not only find common sense, but they will also find their Lord and Savior.
Amir, a lot of this stems, at least in our country, from the universities that have been pushing this egalitarian thinking that everybody has a right to live in America, everybody has a right to live like Americans, and anyone who is against that is a bigot and hateful. And, you know, one of the things I think that we need to make mention of is that, you know, this big push where everybody has the same thing, or like the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab presented, you'll have nothing and you'll own nothing and be happy. And as you mentioned, the Antichrist coming in and bringing about this pseudo peace that begins the tribulation, it is interesting that what follows is everybody's going to have the same thing, which is nothing. They're going to have nothing to eat. They are going to have to spend a whole day's pay for a single meal for a single person, according to the rider on the third horse of the Revelation, four horsemen of the apocalypse. And the world is headed to that place where they're going to be hungry for somebody to step up and say, hey, you know what, let's just all get along. And I've got a plan here where we can settle the Middle East crisis and just deal with things equally on all levels. And just everybody get in line and worship me and everything's going to be fine. Well, Amir, we're coming up to our last couple of minutes, and I love this tradition that we have to end the program. And I know many people have commented online that they are always blessed to hear the Aaronic blessing. So why don't we wrap things up with that, and then you can have some closing thoughts.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichuneka. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you his shalom. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen, amen. I want to remind people also that Pastor Barry and I wrote a book about Bible prophecy. You can always get it online. And this is also my latest book, The Israel Decree. That is also a New York Times bestseller, and you can get it online as well. The book that Pastor Barry and I wrote is called Bible Prophecy, The Essentials. You can also find it online on Amazon and on other platforms, on Barry's and mine. And I want to encourage you to stay close to the Word of God and stay close to the promises of God. Hold on to the good things and stay away from sensationalism and fake news. Thank you, Pastor Barry, for being here with me today. Please share this video with as many people as you can. And please continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that he that keepeth Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleep, will continue to protect and to shelter our beloved country and nation here and his people all over the world. Thank you. God bless you, and shalom.
Shalom.